Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. I'm overwhelmed to be in front of an audience like this. Trust me, this is something that I'm not used to. However, bear with me. I feel to run away right now, but... Okay, what it is I decided to do this on a request of many of the people that were on my boat, which was called the Sefen Luna. We parted from Greece, from Athens. My boat was not so much in the spotlight like the rest of the other boats. The main boat, where we had many fatalities. But the boat that we were on, likewise with all the other boats, they were three cargo vessels and they were three passenger ships. They all came under attack, I believe, roughly about the same time. What I can remember from the attack was, before the attack actually took place, was there was a call to prayer, and all the devout Muslims that were on board at that time was awaiting the prayer, or they were engaged in prayer. And it was a very strange kind of feeling, because everything's quiet around you and all you can hear is this, you know, this call to prayer, and it's just, there's nothing else that you can hear except for that. So we was all sort of like, you know, getting ready to pray. And then I saw this helicopter come over, and it was kind of strange because it didn't have any lights on. So I thought, this, you know, normally you see helicopters got lights. So this one, it was a dark colored helicopter, and it was making its way over to the bigger ship. From that, I understood that an attack was imminent, that they was going to attack our boat. What happened then was, you know, we saw boats coming towards us from the right-hand side and from the left-hand side. The boats contained soldiers, probably about 15 to 16 soldiers in each boat. So we could run from our side of the boat to the other side of the boat, and we can see that these boats were emerging on the bigger ship and also approaching our ship. So by this time it was clear that we was coming under attack. They tried to board our ship. The first time they was unsuccessful, and this is the Sefen Luna boat that departed from Greece. Before they launched their attack upon us, we already formed a form of resistance, and the resistance that we decided to implement was a non-violent resistance. I could never really get my head around as to what a non-violent resistance was, but basically what it was that we'd all stand together, we'd lock hands, and we'd surround the cabin of the captain, so that if they tried to breach, to turn off the engine or to steer the boat away, we would put up as much resistance as we can by making their task difficult. This was something we all agreed that we would do. However, it didn't really last for long, because when they did board, the violence that they used against us was absolutely unbelievable, overwhelming. Old people were being shocked with stun guns. We was beaten with batons. Myself and many others, we tried to repel them and to push them back, but it was no match. We was no match for, they were very well armed. Obviously they're military, so they're well trained. However, we did what we can do. We did as much as we could do to repel them. But what we saw and what we witnessed was, you know, it was really, really shocking. I was really taken aback. I couldn't believe that a commando unit would storm a boat. We had no weapons, we had no guns, we had no knives, we had nothing. Our boat, we had absolutely no resistance whatsoever, except, you know, we just tried to hold, lock hands, and just to keep them off our boat. And what I saw from where I was standing was many of the people being beaten with truncheons, and I myself and many others were being tasered with these electric stun guns. I have electric shocks to my head. I proved all of this by the hospital in Turkey. I've got injuries to my head, electric stun guns all along my legs, my back, etc. All of these injuries have been recorded. Fortunately enough, I keep myself in shape, so it didn't have so much of a bad effect on me. Unlike the older people that was on my vessel, that was on the ship, they were beaten and they were treated in such an unbelievable manner. The fact that they were old, we couldn't come to their assistance, and the people that were doing what they were doing to them, it was like, it was just too bad. I wanted to do something more, but then at the same time, we have to know that by us doing something, it's going to make the situation worse for those that were on board. It was a very, very, very difficult moment for us. All the while this is happening, we have stun grenades being thrown at us. We can hear other attacks and shots ringing out. So I presume that was either from the lower deck, because I was on the top deck at the time. I don't know what was happening on the other ships, but we could see helicopters, lights flashing, and a lot of noise. They overwhelmed us in the end eventually, which wasn't too difficult considering the majority of the people on my boat. I think they were about, in the beginning, I think we set off with about 54, and by the time all of the ships we met up in international waters, I think there was about 48 on board our ship. So we were all together at the same time going in a convoy, a flotilla on the sea, and we could all see each other's boats, and we would stay together. So after them securing the boat, they took us, they kidnapped us, as you know. This time we are none the wiser. We don't know what has actually taken place on the bigger ships or the cargo ships. We don't know what's happened. They've managed to steer the boat completely in the other direction, away from the main boat where the fatalities took place. After many hours, excruciating hours under the sun in the heat, we were taken to a prison, Ashdod, I believe. From there, before we got off the ship, I'm just making it short, before we got off the ship, we was told that we were only allowed to take passports and medicine with us, nothing else. Everything else was to be left. Money, our cameras, our videos, our laptops, anything that we purchased, anything that we bought, or anything that we had, our personal belongings, other than the passport and medicine, we were not allowed to take with us. So as we was taking off the boat, we were searched, we was put into a sort of like a camping area, an inspection area. They searched us, they stripped us. When they searched myself, I lifted up my top like this, in this manner, and underneath I had a money belt. I think you understand what a money belt is. Yeah, in that I had not too much money, £3,500. But what happened was, when I lifted it up, the people around me, they ran away. I wish it was a vest, anyway. So they asked me what that was. Fortunately, I at that time got a bit nervous, so I took my declaration of faith because I thought they was going to open fire. It was just a money belt, but to them it looked like it was something else. So anyway, they said to you, you was told only to bring two things, which was medicine or passport. I said, well, this is my money belt, and I'm not parting with my money, it's my money. So they took me into another room. They asked me, like, what is this money for? You're Hamas, you're funding all this, you're doing that, you must be a terrorist. I said, no. I said, I'm coming to the Gaza Strip to give this money to the poor people. And this is my mission, and this is what I'm here to do. Asked me, what's your name? I said, here's my passport. Give him my passport, he's opened it. They're going for it. They're asking me my name again, my address. So I just kept repeatedly saying to them, sorry, I do not recognize your authority. I've been kidnapped, I've been abducted, you're an Israeli, you've abducted me, you've kidnapped me, I do not recognize your authority, I want to see representation. Where is anyone? Is there anyone here from the British? Is there anyone here that I can speak to? No. You will meet them on the other side. So when I get to the other side, I find that there's nobody there. It's absolutely empty. Meanwhile, everybody's being interrogated differently. By separate police officers. They all had different colored bands. You had blue, yellow, green. I noticed that they all had different armbands. I was taken into a separate room and I was interrogated by, I don't know if it's Mossad or whoever they are, but their methodology of questioning me was different from what the other people had experienced. I'm not gonna go into too much detail, but I think mostly what they were trying to do was psychological torture, telling me that I'm different from the rest, that they've caught me with money and that I'm trying to help Hamas and I'm this and I'm that. So after about 4 hours of going through the same old repetitive talking and intimidation, I was then put into a single cell on a bus, in the back of a prison bus, single cell, on the bus, on the back of a bus, taken to this prison, which I didn't know I was going to a prison, so it was kind of terrifying. When I was there, I then met and came into contact with all the other people that I'd seen on my boat, and I felt much relieved by that. Whilst being in there, again, repeatedly, I requested for phone calls, was denied, wanted representation, was denied, was offered food, and I denied. I didn't really want to be having dinner with the enemy. So I drank some water. That was it, just got my head down till the next day. Just went through the same old thing, but persistently I kept on trying to ask for representation, and nobody was there for me. But anyway, what I'd like to say, just to end it, just in a nutshell, it's you the people, you are the only people that can help us do this. We need you to get on board. We need you, just the normal people, to come together to help. And regardless of your faith, your nationality, your creed or whatever, it's you the people, you stick together like this and we will break the siege of Gaza. Yeah?